86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday. September 2nd, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. Quick announcement, Chase and audience. 10 years ago today is when I started this show. This is the 10-year anniversary. I probably should have had some cake and ice cream and all that stuff brought in. 10 years ago today, I started the Tuesday following Labor Day in 2015. And you think about that. Now, of course, I've been doing TV. This is my 43rd year in TV. And I've done radio off and on. But 10 years to do a sports talk show is a, you know, that's a pretty good dateline. You know, that's, yeah, thanks. So 10 years ago today, started out on Tuesday after Labor Day 2015. And it also kind of puts into perspective how much can change in 10 years. Nick Saban was in his heyday. He had won national championships in 09, 11, 12, got kick-sixed in 13, got beat by Ohio State in 14, but would go on to win it in 15. So my first year doing the show, he won the national championship. Of course, 16, lost in the final seconds against Clemson, won it in 17, played for it in 18. So this was kind of the Tua got hurt in 19. I mean, you go through the years, but 10 years later, Alabama football is in a significantly different place than it was then. We'll break all that down for you today, though. Got a good show on tap. Going to run it down for you here in just a second. First, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show is brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. And let's see here. My messages are already coming in. You know, I get in and start this show, and people start hitting me up with text. So I'm always multitasking. But anyway, the lineup for today, the Rocket Man, Drudy Armin. This should be an interesting conversation at 9:30. And then at 10:30, we're going to feature Zach Richardson, who is the sports director down in Monroe, Louisiana, at KTVE. And, of course, he covers ULM, the opponent this Saturday. So Zach Richardson is going to join us from KTVE in Monroe, Louisiana, to break down the game from the Louisiana-Monroe perspective at 10:30. Also, we'll get to some of the audio from yesterday. If you were hoping for the coordinators and the head coach to win the press conferences after that loss to Florida State, it didn't happen. A lot of people that follow Alabama, not really particularly enamored with the way those press conferences were handled yesterday either. So a tough week continues for Alabama football. We're going to dive in to it head first here in just a moment. Phone calls are already lined up, and we're going to get to all our phone callers. And yeah, we'll have time to go ahead and take one in this segment before we bring everybody else back in the second segment. We'll take them in the order in which they came in. 205-342-9904 is the number. 205-342-9904 is that phone number on the Storage Center hotline. Our partner, Joseph, is going to lead us off, followed by Larry the Music Man and Bryce. Let's start it off with Joseph. What up, partner?
What's up, Gary Harris?
Oh, this is another Joseph. Okay, I'm sorry about that. my Joseph with the partner. So, anyway, I guess, Chase, I need to distinguish between the Josephs. But, hey, Joseph, you're Joseph number two. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good, man. I want to tell you, man, the way we played yesterday, everybody wants to blame Ty Simpson for the problem. Ty Simpson was not the problem yesterday. He had a 254-yard passing game. Ty don't play defense either. So I don't think the problem was Ty Simpson. I do think this coaching staff is mediocre at best. And I think if they don't get this straightened out this year, I do think by the end of next year, we need to be thinking about a coaching change at the helm of Alabama. Because yeah, this is unacceptable what this coaching staff's doing. We went and lost to a Michigan team that had a full of backups last year, and then came out and lost to an unranked Florida State team. That's unacceptable in Alabama's terms. It's time to get this worked out, and it's time to see a change in Alabama.
All right, Joseph, appreciate the phone call. Good thoughts there from you. We got time to squeeze in one more before we hit the break. Larry the Music Man is up next. Hey, Larry the Music Man.
Gary, good morning, and congratulations on your journey, my friend. You've certainly made my life brighter at 72, giving me an opportunity to do what I do on Wednesdays. And I went fishing yesterday, and I listened to every show all day. We were in a boat. And I really don't have much to say about Saturday, but I did not open my Buffalo Trace. I didn't think the team was worthy of it. Now I'll save it for the Georgia game. But what I want to do, you giving me the job of entertaining people on Wednesday, and I think we need a break right now. And I'm going to make, we're going to stay in the 70s. We did vocalist, female, male. I want folks to think hard. I want them to give me their five top guitar players from the 70s. It can be solo artists or group. It can be a duo in a band. It can be three in a band, three guitar players. For instance, the Outlaws. Excuse me. And I want a song that you heard when you heard this guitar player that stayed in your mind, that still stays in your mind. I want that song related to the guitar player or the band. So, and as a musician, the band didn't show up Saturday and play. If that had been a concert with a major act and people paid for hard-earned tickets, we're in tough times now. I'm on Social Security, I don't mind telling you. There might have been beer cups on that stage.
Oh, Lord.
That
yeah.
band did not show up. And if that's rehearsal, if that is a rehearsal for a band, it ain't worth a damn. I'm sorry. I mean, I wouldn't tolerate it with any musician. And I don't play with friends. I play with comrades. And when you get called out, you get called out, man. That's all I got to say. Everybody pretty much echoed their sentiments yesterday, and I can agree with most of it. I think we got to ride this train, though. We ain't got no choice. I mean, we're going to have to ride it out. You agree? I mean,
absolutely. I mean, you know, I've had some people yesterday tell me, you know, talking about coaching changes, it's not going to happen. It's just not. The best thing that you can do as an Alabama fan is hope that Saturday was an outlier, that it was an anomaly, that it is not an indication of what's going to come this season, and that they, you know, get it turned around. Hey, listen, it's so negative right now. The tone is so gloomy.
Well, let's have fun tomorrow. Take a break from it. Y'all give me something tomorrow and talk it. I want to hear what you like. Let's take a break from it, because I'm going to tell you, it was brutal. I was in a boat yesterday, and I won't mind telling you, I was with a Georgia fan, and he felt sorry for me. I said, I wish you'd make fun of me. They're showing me more people messaging me, are you okay? Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I'm not going to bail. I'm a Crimson Tide fan, man. I'm not going to bail, but we got a problem, and I don't like the press conferences. You're going to put me on the spot about that. I don't like none of those press conferences. I think they're weak. I just don't understand. Let's call it ace to ace. Don't you agree, brother? You got to call somebody out somewhere.
Yeah, and I think we've done that. You know, but as I was saying, too, all you can do, though, is hope that, because as bad as it is right now, that was the first game of the season. It was not a conference game.
Right.
You know,
right.
There is the opportunity to prove that that was a fluke. Now, I don't know that they'll prove that again. My guess is this team's going to lose.
I want to believe it. I do. Gary, I want to believe it. You know that. And like I said, let me do a music show. I was so worried. I'm so glad you guys run yesterday. I told Mayman, I said, I got to follow this. They going to come out swinging on Tuesday, and they might want to hang me on the – they might want to run me off. So anyway, All right, Larry. We always have fun. Rock on, bro.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Five top guitar players from the 70s, folks. Go ahead and file that way. All right, we're going to take a time out here on the Gary Harris Show. Before we do, though, we'll remind you, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. Personal training, incredible staff, terrific facility, great equipment. Just super community of members. You'll enjoy it as much as I do, I promise you. It's a respite for me from real life. When I go to the Y, I can get away with all of the things that I deal with every day, including, sports. So the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, give it a try, 2300 13th Street downtown, YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with more phone calls. Bryce and Phillip, hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side. The Rocket Man, Drudy Armin, coming up at 9:30. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Alabamians are flocking across the state line to buy Powerball lottery tickets in Mississippi. The drawing last night did not produce a big winner, so the jackpot for Wednesday night's 11 p.m. drawing will be $1.3 billion. I did say billion with a B. The estimated cash value, $589 million before taxes. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage. It's free throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Oh, they've got takeout too. Call 205-399-2024 or visit Chow's Country Buffet in Tuscaloosa, because filling your stomach shouldn't empty your wallet.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Just come with me and we can shake it right away. All right, 9:20 here on the Gary Harris Show. Let's get right back to phone callers. And it's going to be Bryce and then Phillip. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
You got a cold?
Not really, no. Probably just a little bit of sinus, waking up with weather change. No, I'm not coughing or anything. I just have a little bit of, congestion.
Well, I like your piece on Facebook. You pretty much summed it up. You stole all my thunder. But I can come up with some things that you didn't cover. However, I sent you a video that what really just blew my mind was them making that video after they got beat like they did.
Yeah, I saw you sent it to me. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. Are you sure that it was after the game?
It's got an article about it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the way I read it, yeah, and it just blows my mind that what people are thinking. I saw, just like you, I saw no intensity on the defense about wanting to stop somebody. And, that quarterback, it reminded me of an old movie, Billy Jack. You remember that movie?
I do.
Well, he said he's going to kick him in the jaw and nothing you could do about it.
Right.
That's pretty much the way I looked at Saturday. He pretty much told us what he's going to do, that we couldn't stop him, and we didn't,
Yeah.
And I got on your show and run my mouth. I thought it'd be a blowout. It was a blowout, but not like I thought it was going to be. But I'm at this point right here. If I'm going to treat it like I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. If we win, it's great, and I'm going to cheer for it. If we don't, I don't expect it. So, it won't be near as hard that way. I mean, this team has got a lot of improvement to do, and I don't know where to start. I mean, first of all, it starts with the head coach. He just don't have any excitement over on the sideline, coaching the football. I'm not used to his demeanor. Nick Saban, that you see in him for 17 years, it's just hard to adapt to anything else, that don't work. I mean, I don't know where you see it at, but that's where I'm at with that. And his press conferences,
is a joke. I mean, you got to hold these players accountable when they have these 15-yard penalties. You jerk your butts out of there and put them on the sideline and talk to them. Don't do that again or you won't be playing. I don't see none of that. Do you see any of that?
Well, I didn't see it Saturday. I mean, as you said, you watched my social media analysis on Sunday from it. I'm just as disappointed as everybody else. But now being removed from it for a couple of days, I am trying to be objective. And as bad as it was, and it was bad, it is only one game. You've got 11 games left. You haven't even played a home game yet. So I am going to try to take the perspective that, you know, there's a lot of football left. And we're not used to losing openers around here. It's the first time that's happened since 2001. To start out 0-1, but, you know, all you can do is play on Saturday. I fully expect that they are going to hammer ULM. I do. I think they're going to take out some frustrations on a team that should not be able to match up with them physically. And then I think they'll beat Wisconsin, and they'll be 2-1 headed to Georgia, and we'll see what happens. I don't expect them to win in Georgia, but, you know, that's why you play the game. So I want to see what they're able to do going forward, and I'm hoping that, you know, it's an anomaly what happened.
Well, I'm trying to be positive like you and Joe, get y'all's positive attitude, but it's kind of like you can only get let down so many times, but I'm going to try to be positive and take that approach, but I'm not going to run my mouth about what they're going to do. I'm just going to watch them play and not say nothing, you know, because it just killed me in a tailspin about how this game unfolded, you know.
No, I know Bryce, you're disappointed, and all Alabama fans are, and from what I saw on Saturday, there's reason to be concerned and skeptical of this team. Having said that, I still think they have a lot of talent, and I'm hopeful that was, like I said, that was just an anomaly. That's not going to be the norm for this team this year. So we will see, but you'll play on Saturday, and you need a win. If you can get a win, get that taste out of your mouth and then move forward. Hey, thank you, Bryce. Good to hear from you. All right, let's get to Philip here on the Storage Center hotline, and then we'll get to a new caller, Bullshin, out of Kentucky. All right, but Philip, you're up first. Go ahead.
Well, it's like Coach Saban used to say, you know, they got to decide what they want their legacy to be. And that's pretty much up to the player. And the coach can drive them to that drop-off point, but the player's got to figure it out at that point. But I was going over the list of guys that did not play. I was a little bit surprised at a few names that didn't see any action and some guys that did see some action. I sort of thought Samaracco, the tight end that transferred, I believe, from Pitt, I believe, or West Virginia One, he didn't play. We heard Jackson Lloyd's name a little bit preseason. He didn't play. Rock Montgomery didn't play. That surprised me. And then Steve Umbaoma did not play. That surprised me. Michael Carroll didn't play. Chuck McDonald didn't play. And another big surprise that didn't play was Cam Howard. He didn't play. The young guys that did play were Jay Lindsey, Isaiah Faga played, Caleb Edwards played tight end, William Sanders did play, Ivan Taylor played, Pritchett played, and of course Riley and Dejon Lee played. So I was a little bit surprised with a few of those guys that didn't see action.
Well, you ran down the list. I'm not as surprised on the offensive line. You know, they're not going to play. You're not going to play as many offensive linemen, especially true freshmen. You know, as you are at other positions, particularly in a game like that. So, but yeah, across the board, you know, I think that there's some guys on that roster that probably didn't play who will get an opportunity somewhere along the line, particularly after what happened on Saturday, but they go into the game with a pretty good rotation and a pretty good idea on who they want to play. And, you know, so it's just the way it is. I mean, it's too many, you know, 85 guys on that roster. You know, some of them aren't going to play and some of them are going to be in the portal after the season. That's just the way it is.
Right. But didn't that sort of surprise you a little bit that Mbeumo?
Steve Mbeumo, as I like to call based on, you know, the need there at the defensive line and based on what we've heard about him physically. But you do have to remember, he's a young guy. And, I would have expected him to play. And, again, going forward with that defensive line group, there could be some guys that get an opportunity that didn't play on Saturday because, quite frankly, in my opinion, the defensive line, they got handled. And, you've got to look at maybe playing some other guys there and changing some things up because the defensive front's going to have to play better than they played on Saturday. So, yeah, a little surprised maybe some of those other guys didn't get an opportunity.
Well, it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks, and then they've got that off week before Georgia, which will be really helpful. But like I said, it's only one game into the year, but everybody's down right now, but they've got a job to do over there. They've got to pick the pace up. They've got to pick the sense of urgency up because, you know, you want to battle to get into the playoff, and you don't want to be out of that picture after five games.
No, you don't. Like I've said many times on this show, for some fan bases, the best part of the season is the preseason. You don't want Alabama to be one of those teams. You don't want to be three or four, five, six games in and it already be done for you. So they've got to turn it around, and they've got to win some games starting on Saturday. Hey, thank you so much, Philip. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Let's get to, is it Bullshin in Kentucky? Is that it, Bullshin?
It's Bullshinning.
Bullshinning, okay.
Yeah, Bullshinning, like, you know, the old night court guy.
Got you now. Yeah, it took me a minute. I was trying to read it the way, but got you. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, but I really felt compelled because I want everybody to pump the brakes just a little bit. My wife and I were talking how depressing it is, seeing all the negativity. I mean, the reality is it is early, and I felt like the game was so much less about Ty and Kalen and all that, but a whole lot more about Gus, the Tallahassee crowd, down distance circumstances. But, I mean, Gus Malzahn, he has how many wins against Alabama? And everybody's down on him and Kalen, but who did he beat all the other times? You know, he kind of has our number a little bit. And then you're in Tallahassee, the crowd and everything. So I just felt like, you know, to Kalen, you know, I don't know how people get to him, but I feel like he needs to know fans do support him. I think the combination of Ryan and Kalen is a phenomenal combo. A great staff.
Yeah.
Just need to give it a miss.
Yeah. Bull Shannon, let me say this. I think that you're right on the point. I think that regardless of what's going around outside that building, football coaches are they're able to close ranks and do what they need to do to get their team ready. So despite all the noise, and it is loud, and there are a lot of shows like this and a lot of fans that are, you know, sitting down having breakfast right now that are, you know, all they're talking about is Alabama football, inside that building, all these staffs around the country, they're able to focus on what they need to focus on. So I wouldn't be too concerned about how the staff's handling it. I think they're going to go about their business. Having said that, you know, the reality of it is fans are concerned about results, and that result on Saturday was not a positive one. So it's important, I think, that they get some positive results going forward and get this thing. I know it's just one game, but they need to get it going in the right direction, or else, you know, regardless of whether we want to support the coach or not, people are going to be upset.
I got to be on the positive side. Bill Belichick was in the same position, you know, straight down the field, scored, everybody was on board with Bill Belichick last night, 7-0. The circumstances laid out almost identical to the Alabama game. They got behind, couldn't catch up. You know, is Bill Belichick a good coach or not? I mean, it happens, but I think the rest of the year, let's go undefeated. Or, you know, 10-2, we get in. We'll get there. We'll get there. I have faith.
All right, let me ask you real quick, because, again, Chase just had Bullshin on, he didn't catch it, but Bullshin, and I'm obviously familiar with. Do you look like him? Is that why you go by the tag? Do you have that weird look on your face? Or
unfortunately, I got it on it. Yeah, I'm 6'4", bald headed, and wear a jumpsuit for work. So yeah.
Yeah, that actor was Richard Mull from Night Court.
Yep.
All right, I have figured it out. Hey, thank you, Bullshin. Good to hear from you, man. Okay.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
All right, appreciate you. All right, 9:33. We got to get to the break, though. We'll come back with the Rocket Man, Rudy Harmon, next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Online today, Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise, your car your way. In Tuscaloosa today.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Touchdown brings me round again to find.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and it is time for Drudy Armin, the Rocket Man, 977 ESPN Radio out of Huntsville, joins us every week. Of course, he hosts Talking Ball weekday mornings with Scott Tyson from 7 to 9 on 97.7 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. You've had a little time now to kind of let it marinate and go back and you know, review the game, and, you know, you watch it live, and it's an emotional, you know, viewing when you're watching it live, but you've had a chance to go back and look at it. Anything that you've, you know, seen since the game was played on Saturday that gives you a more of a positive outlook than what the game actually, you know, the way it unfolded in real time? Anything that you've seen that you think that this team can build on?
Well, I mean, I thought Ty Simpson was okay. Probably would give him a probably about a C grade for his first start. You know, if he had had any help from the defense, if they could have created turnovers or got some stops, and if his receivers had caught the football, he would have thrown for 300-plus yards, maybe three or four TDs. Certainly, he'd like to have some decisions back. He could have run for a first down and tried to throw the ball on the run, and he struggled throwing it on the run for much of the game. And then Alabama ended up turning it over on down, so you kind of have to – you know, understand, you know, the down and distance in the situation. But for a guy that had never started a game ever, I thought he competed his butt off, and he threw for 250-plus yards and two TDs, no turnovers. I know he almost had one with a fumble, but that's because, again, I thought after the first drive he had no running game, 55 of the 87 yards on the first possession. And then his receivers, they dropped four or five passes. And his offensive line after the first series was, for the most part, atrocious. I don't really care what Pro Football Focus says, whether positive or negative, because they kind of had both of them out there. But I know what I saw. And my eyes tell me that the offensive line was terrible. Now, I saw that stat where they said Ty had the most time of any quarterback in the country to throw. I mean, I don't. Look, man, he's a good athlete. Some of that was him, you know, trying to improvise and being able to move. But I just know that the offensive line was not good. And, again, they didn't play complimentary football. I've seen some worse performances from Alabama quarterbacks, and they won the game because the defense was good. They were able to run the football some. You know, Ty had a lot on his plate, and, again, I thought he battled. And then I thought the only A was Jeremy Bernard. I thought he was tremendous. Thought he made plays. Thought he got open all game. You know, people that I trust, even though the offensive line as a whole didn't play well, I think Parker Brailsford played pretty well. I'd probably give him Ty Simpson, Parker Brailsford, and especially Jeremy Bernard, they're the only players that I wouldn't give a D or an F to. Because everybody else was not ready to play, was not locked in, and at the first sign of adversity, they folded their tent and basically went into a fetal position.
You mentioned the running game that was so prevalent on that first drive, and Kevin Riley, the Tuscaloosa County High product, was hitting the hole with some authority. And, I mean, the game kind of unfolds the way it unfolded. But if you don't watch that first drive, Drew, you would have said, boy, Alabama's going to be able to run the football, and they're going to commit to the run. And it didn't happen. I mean, again, Ryan Grubb's a, you know, experienced play caller. But can you figure out, watching the game back, why they didn't try? You know, it wasn't like they were still in the game, even down. There were opportunities to try to get the run game going, and it just seemed like, to me, they went away from it. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't know if you remember the comment, but I know you remember the blue-gray game, right?
Absolutely.
Montgomery.
Very well.
It was an all-star game that most of the time had college football stars in it. If your team didn't go to a bowl game, that's kind of where you ended up.
Yeah. Howie Long played in that game, by the way, out of Villanova. Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember in 1997, after Alabama went 4-7, Alabama had Ed Sisson, Dennis Riddle, maybe even Curtis Alexander. They had several guys playing in the blue-gray game. And I think Dennis scored a touchdown in that game. And I'll never forget, he was asked on the sideline, Dennis, you know, Alabama is a very proud program. What happened this year? And he looked at her and he looked at the camera and he said, coaches panicked. And I got that feeling that that's what happened on Saturday. Alabama actually was moving the football their second possession, running and throwing, and they got near the red zone for Florida State. And then they got blown up three plays in a row, and they missed a 53-yard field goal. And then we know what happened, because it looked like they had a three and out for on Florida State the first possession, and then Damani Jackson gets called for holding because his mind wasn't where it needed to be. They should have known. They knew all offseason they were going to be playing a hurry-up, no-huddle team, so you got to get back to the line of scrimmage and get ready to play the next snap. He wasn't lined up right. And he grabbed the receiver and got called for holding. Legit, okay? And then Florida State returns the favor. They've got 3rd and 11, and then Dejon Lee allows Squirrel White to get a free release and run right by him. And he makes a great catch, and they end up scoring a touchdown. And then Florida State scores after that missed field goal, and it just seemed like when it was 14-7, Alabama just went away from what was working, didn't try to run the football hardly at all, and they panicked. I just felt like they panicked. And then with this coaching staff, unfortunately, we've seen very little adjusting, in my opinion, or at least it, whatever they try, it has minimal effect, okay? Because, you know, I talked to Ryan Fowler on my show this morning, one of your colleagues, and he said, well, he did think in the second half if they went more to a four-man front to slow Florida State down, and they, I guess you could say they slowed them down a little bit, but not much, because they ran for nearly 250 yards, okay? So they didn't slow them down enough. And what I'm saying is this coaching staff, in a little over a year and a game, they have not shown the ability to be able to adjust when things don't go well. And the biggest thing to me, besides the adjustments, and this is the more alarming thing, this would be number one, the adjustments would be number two. Number one, the physical and mental toughness that was established under Nick Saban and has always been a hallmark of Alabama football. That's why Alabama football historically is the greatest program of all time, because of Coach Bryant, Coach Stallings, Coach Saban, Coach Wade, Coach Thomas. The teams were mentally and physically tough. And right now, there is no mental or physical toughness on this football team. It is dead and gone. They don't react well. As soon as they get punched in the mouth, they loaf or they just back down. There's no fight, Gary. I didn't think there was much fight on Saturday, because they had opportunities. And then when they have a chance, when a Florida State, you know, makes a couple of mistakes, like the muff punt, they don't take advantage of it. And then you have a 3rd and 11 coming up potentially after Damani Jackson finally makes a play, and then Damani was lucky he didn't get called for taunting, which is a joke because he hadn't done anything all game. So, you know, make a play, get back into the defensive huddle, but James Smith, who is supposed to be a war daddy and be the best player on your defensive line, he comes in and needlessly hits the quarterback and gets a 15-yard penalty. What I'm trying to say is it's a lack of discipline on the entire football team, and we saw it last year, and nothing has changed. And so, I mean, I didn't see anything any different than we saw last year as far as when this team falls behind, you might as well just, you know, pack it in, because they're not going to fight. They don't have any pride in performance. You know, the discipline, effort, toughness, and pride is not there anymore. It's more about, are you going to pay me on Thursday? That's all it looks like to me. And so, I mean, Ryan Williams got a concussion. You know, hopefully he heals quickly. But he wouldn't have got a concussion if he could catch the damn ball, because he dropped three passes. And the one that last one he dropped led to the concussion because he didn't make the play he should have made. So it's all on the players, but the coaches haven't done their jobs either. The coaches did a piss poor job in every aspect. They have not been able to get the players' attention. I don't think the players fear the coaches. I think they like their coaches. I think they have respect for what they're trying to do, but they don't fear them, and they don't play hard for them right now. And that's the biggest and most alarming thing. Are these kids, do they care? Do they have any give a damn? And do they want to play hard? Because they did not play hard at all on Saturday. There is no excuse for how they played. And from what I've heard from the assistant coaches and the head coach since then, doesn't instill any confidence in me, because I don't think they know what physicality is in the SEC. This ain't the Pac-12. They don't even fill their stadiums over there. They fill them here. You have to play with intensity and purpose every game. If you don't, you're going to get your ass beat. And they have 5 out of 14 times, and that is completely unacceptable.
Also, from I want to ask you about, you know, the offense, Gus's offense, and effort aside, at halftime, Coach DeBoer was asked about, you know, he said, well, they showed us some things that we hadn't prepared for, hadn't seen, and I talked to a coach who said he doesn't understand that, because he said Gus ran what he's always run, and that's what he runs. He couldn't understand how you watch Gus's offense and say that you got shown something that you had not seen. So what did you make of that? I mean, obviously they had trouble stopping Castellanos. He even threw the football better than I expected him to be able to, but that they didn't necessarily seem like they were prepared for what Florida State did offensively. I'm a little miffed by that.
I mean, I was stunned, because at halftime, Kellen DeBoer said that, you know, they did a few things differently than what we saw.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, hesitant, and we can't play back on our heels. I'm thinking to myself, have you not watched any Auburn film when he was there? Or how much did you watch? How much Central Florida film? Because he may have done it out of some different formations, but everything, you know, Gus Malzahn doesn't reinvent the wheel, okay? It was the inside zone. And that's basically want to. Can you get off a block? Can you be physical? Can you stop the run? And can you tackle the quarterback? And they did not do a good job of getting penetration. This is what I was afraid of. You know, and I'm not going to sit there and just say, well, if only Tim Keenan had been there, it would have been different. I'm not sure how much different it would have been, because I just don't think Freddie Roach had them ready to play in any form or fashion. I mean, they did not look like that they had proper technique. They did not look like that their motors were running. And to be honest, it looked like Alabama had a group of five defensive lines, where, you know, you're going to have trouble playing against Power Four teams and SEC competition, because you're just not big and strong enough, and you're not talented enough. And that's what it looked like to me. And I thought it was telling. I mean, and I don't mind the staff playing more players. I think you need to do that in the NIL era and to develop depth. But when you have London Simmons in the game on the third play, Gary, that's disturbing to me. That means you're confident in the freshmen, but where are these upperclassmen? Why aren't they ready to play? I didn't see hardly anything out of Jeremiah Beeman. He didn't do much. I didn't see him make a play. I mean, the only defensive lineman that I can remember getting a negative play was Edrick Hill. He got some penetration. I didn't see much from LT Overton, and we didn't see hardly any pressure on the quarterback until, Keon Sabb, a safety, got a sack. I mean, that's the thing. They weren't reestablishing the line of scrimmage. I thought the front seven, and linebackers included, and I thought the linebackers looked horrendously bad. And it's a bad term to use, but, you know, soft is the worst thing you can be called in football. But I know you've heard this term before, Gary. I thought Alabama was catching offensive players. I didn't think they were hitting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were catching them. And that just means you're hesitant, you're soft, and you're not ready to play. And this was a kind of a hallmark of the DeBose era, that guys would get worse as, you know, as their careers went on. I mean, that was not the same Bray Hubbard I saw last year. I saw a guy that was hitting people, was aggressive, and making plays on the ball, and then all he did was loaf on Saturday. I don't understand it. Maybe he was under the weather. I don't know. But there was a lot of guys that were loafing and were not playing hard. And there's no excuse for that. I mean, there's none. And they should be called out by name. I don't care. I don't want to hear, oh, these are 18-year-old kids. You can't say anything. They're making millions of dollars. They deserve to be called out. They're making tons. They get adulation from everybody. Now they are getting paid. Before they weren't, okay? And they were making millions for the university. Well, now they're getting their cut. So do your damn job and do it well. If not, get out. And that should be the message from the coaching staff, too. But instead, the coaching staff seems to want to play kumbaya and act like nothing's wrong. Well, it better change quick or you're all going to have new addresses.
Speaking of that, going forward, had 9 months to get ready for this one, did not play well in the game. Of course, got an outmanned opponent on Saturday night in Monroe. There's no way around that. That should be a blowout. But going forward, can they get it fixed?
I mean, I'll be honest, Gary, I don't know. I mean, I was so stunned by what I saw on Saturday. I loved the start. I mean, it was a great first drive. I give them credit. It was beautiful, beautiful football. And they scored a touchdown. And then it looked like they had a really good chance of getting off the field, you know, on the first drive defensively. But then once they faced a little adversity, FSU scored. And then FSU did not fail on a third down until the end of the half. And really that was inconsequential. They never got stopped. And then Alabama dug a 24-7 hole, and it was just really hard for them. Now, you could say they didn't completely quit. I mean, they cut it to 24-17, but you never had the feeling that this team was going to do what it took to win the game, that they were going to, you know, make plays, that they were playing as hard as they could. Because to me, they were still, for the most part, getting manhandled. So, I mean, the most sobering thing I heard, I mean, I wanted to listen to Crimson Tide Rewind on our station last night on 97.7 The Zone. Tyler Watt, color analyst for the football program, does a great job, you know, with Chris Stewart, and played at Alabama, knows what it takes. And, you know, I thought it was interesting because I remember he was on a team where I was in the stands for a disastrous loss to a Louisiana Tech team they had no business losing to. That team responded, won in the swamp, and then went on to win the SEC championship. But I really don't know what's going to happen with this group. NIL has changed a lot of things. I just don't know how they're going to respond. And at the very end, he was telling Roger Hoover that he looked forward to being with him next week, and hopefully it would be a win. Think about that for a second. You're playing Louisiana Monroe, okay? I mean, you should dominate them. You should win. But I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't. Do I think Alabama's going to beat Louisiana Monroe? I do. But I don't know how it's going to look. And the problem is this staff is 9-5, and it's the way they lose. It's just there's no passion, no intensity. They don't fight, and many times they get blown out, Gary. And it's just really, really disheartening that they're front runners and they only play well when they start well. And it's almost like they think because they've got Alabama, an Alabama helmet on or Crimson Tide on their helmet, that, you know, people are just going to bow down for them. That's not going to happen. Everybody wants to beat Alabama. Why do you think Florida State's fans rush the field? Because it's still a big deal. Alabama is one of the most, if not the most, tradition-rich programs in college football, and nobody's going to lay down for you. Castellanos kind of set the tone. He said they don't have Nick Saban anymore to save them. They're not Alabama. Well, he backed up everything he said, and that was the most humiliating thing, I think, of the whole weekend.
Drew, you said a lot, man. I got to hit the break, but appreciate you, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary.
All right, 9:55. We'll come back and wrap it up right after this.
Monday from 7 to 8 Central on Tide100.9.com and TiderInsider.com and all your social media platforms for Inside the Trenches.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. We're going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two coming up. We'll go down to Monroe, Louisiana to visit about the upcoming game with the Crimson Tide and Louisiana Monroe. And also, we'll get into Bill Belichick's college debut last night. I mean, you think Alabama had a rough outing on Saturday at Tallahassee. What happened to the Tar Heels last night in Chapel Hill against TCU? Ouch. And a similar start. They went right down the field and scored on their first drive, but it was ugly. We'll get into that and take more of your phone calls. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is coming up.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Quite a debut for Coach Bill Belichick at North Carolina Monday night. At home, the Tar Heels were beaten 48-14 by TCU, which had nearly 260 yards rushing and over 280 yards passing. Defensive end Micah Parsons was limited in his first practice at Green Bay. He has a joint sprain in his back. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, with his bad back, is expected to start the opener this weekend. Naomi Osaka beat Coco Gauff in a fourth-round match at the U.S. Open. To Major League Baseball, the Phillies won 10-8 at Milwaukee. The Mets were 10-8 winners at Detroit. Juan Soto with a grand slam and a two-run triple. Cincinnati with three runs in the bottom of the ninth beat Toronto 5-4. Toronto had just scored three runs in the top of the ninth. The Cubs in 10
candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome into hour number two of the Gary Harris Show, right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you. This hour, the Gary Harris Show, being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. In Alabama, community means everything, and at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. If you're injured, you won't get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys right here at home. Accessible, compassionate, committed. Find out more at their great website, PattersonLawPC.com. It explains everything they're about, or you can call them. It's an easy number to remember, 205-345-1000, 205-345-1000. And remember, there's never a penny out of pocket unless they collect for you. Local, trusted, and here for when you need us. That's Patterson Law Firm.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
205-342-9904 is the number if you want to join the conversation. And right now we're wide open in this segment, and we have talked so much Alabama, rightfully so. I'm going to go ahead and say this, Chase. I had this conversation with you during a break, and I know Drew said he still wasn't even sure about this weekend. Pull up the line on the Alabama-ULM game. I think it's around 38. But I'm going to make a bold prediction. I went 6-5 on my point spread picks last week. I called them out by game yesterday. And I'm a little frustrated because I fully intended to take Ohio State and I didn't. And I took Alabama by a half point. I picked them by 14 on 13. I thought they would win the game. But I did think it would be a close game. But anyway, I did okay. But you found it yet, Chase? What is it?
That's 36.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction right now that Alabama absolutely blows out Monroe. And I'm not saying that's going to be a reflection on what they're going to do the rest of the year when they play better opposition. But I do think that after the way that game went down and the way this week is being played out, they're going to want to take out their frustration. And I don't think Monroe has the horses to stand up in the stable to what they're going to run into. I'm not saying this means Alabama's going to go on and have a great season, but I do think Alabama, I'll make my score prediction tonight on Tide or Insider TV, but I can tell you right now, I think Alabama will hang 50 on Monroe. So, and if that's just a little bit of a feel-good staff for that one game, we will see. But I do think this Alabama team has enough talent and enough just determination that they'll want to bounce back, and they're bouncing back against an opponent that, and we'll talk much more about Monroe coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll have a guest that covers them on a daily basis, and we'll break them down. But there is a very familiar, if you're a football fan in the state, there's a very familiar name that is the head coach of the Warhawks, and that's Brian Vincent. Brian Vincent has a lot of history in the state of Alabama and is a good football coach. He was the offensive coordinator at UAB under Bill Clark and later became the interim head coach and did a nice job there, but he played at West Alabama. He has coached all over the state in both high school and college and has done a good job there at Louisiana Monroe. So he will be a guy that's going to bring his team in here, knowing the lay of the land, kind of understanding football in the state of Alabama. And so that's kind of a local tie-in for this game this Saturday night. All right, Bill Belichick. Chase, I'm interested in getting you involved in this conversation because I think Bill Belichick is a great coach. I think he's one of the finest football coaches to ever walk the planet. I know all the memes are out there. This would be Belichick without Tom Brady. You've seen him. everything from a homeless man to a fast food server and all that kind of stuff. But he did have Tom Brady, and he did recognize Tom Brady's talent. And they had a dynamic combination, but that's because you're a great NFL coach at 72 or 3 years old to take over a college program without ever having coached college football is tricky. And I didn't think it was a fit. Now, was last night electric? Yeah, that's probably the most electric home game that North Carolina has ever had in the history of the program. It was at night. It was packed. There were celebrities there. You know, Michael Jordan was there. Randy Moss was there. I mean, it was – Lawrence Taylor was there. Roy Williams was there. I mean, it was incredible. And much like the Alabama-Florida State game, North Carolina came out on that opening drive with their quarterback, who's a transfer from South Alabama, and just stuck it right down TCU's throat and went up 7-0. And after that, it was a nightmare. And North Carolina got absolutely destroyed. I mean, not just beat, not just, but 48-14. And it was basically over at halftime. Now, again, it's one game. And we've talked about this a lot. You know, you play one game, somebody's going to win the first game, somebody's going to lose the game. And when you play one of these bigger type opponents, there's a chance you're going to lose. But to get, well, I shouldn't say it was over at halftime. It was 20-7 at half, but it was over at the end of third quarter now. It was 41-14 at the end of three. And to lose 48-14, it gives you pause as to, you know, what Belichick will even be able to do in this first season. And they've locked him down with a mega, mega contract. Michael Lombardi, his general manager, who has no college experience, making $1.5 million. So in the desire to win and the desire to stand out, what's happening is these schools, again, I know these ADs are to some degree businessmen, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. These colleges, if they were a business model, these athletic departments, they would go defunct. I mean, they wouldn't be able to operate because they hire these coaches with these outrageous buyouts. They get themselves leveraged, and then if the coach doesn't live up to expectations, in a lot of cases, they can't afford to fire him anymore. I mean, you're talking about buyouts of $50, $60, $70 million. You're talking about $20.5 million revenue share. You're talking about having to raise NIL money on top of that. This is not a good business model, okay? And I don't, you know, claim to know too much about business. I mean, I'm never going to be wealthy. I've never been wealthy. I'm never going to run a company. But I tell you one thing I do know how to do is balance a checkbook. And I do know how to take care of my personal finances. I do know how to live within a budget. I do know how to spend less than I make. I know all those things. That's the way I live my life. But you've got these athletic departments now who are just spending, spend, spend, spend. Spend, spend, spend. And they go to their donors and they ask for more, more, more. You know what? You know what the answer seems to be now? Well, we can't compete. We need more money for this. They just want to throw more money at it. And now I'm starting to get on a little rant myself. And this is not an indictment of Alabama. This is all of these schools, man. And I guess as long as the money is there to be raised and the donors continue to provide it, you'll continue to see more horrible contracts where the coach has every bit of the leverage. These coaches that are signed now for the amount of money that they're signed for, they have all of the leverage. They're guaranteed their money. You know, where else does it work like that in the real world, man? Where you take a job, and the minute you sign the contract, you're set for life. It's generational wealth, whether you are competent or not at doing the job. I mean, so when people have asked me, do I have empathy for coaches? I've said that, yes. It's a hard job. They work hard. Nobody likes to be fired, regardless of how much money they make. At the same time, with the kind of money they make now, having empathy and sympathy are two different things. I don't feel sorry for football coaches, even the assistants. Most of the assistants now are making seven figures. Man, in the real world, that's not the way we get paid. That's not the pay structure most people are on. So when you're making, head coaches making 8, 9, 10 million, coordinators making, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million, $3 million, position coaches making seven figures to do a job, and they don't do the job to the expectations of the fan base and the people that support their school, you're doggone right they're going to take some heat. And they should. What's the old saying? If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen? Well, I think the old saying should be, if you can't stand the heat, get back in the kitchen anyway. Because you got a job to do. And if you can't do it for the kind of money you're making, you have to understand there is going to be scrutiny. There's going to be unhappy. And I'm not saying they don't understand that. But I'm just saying this coaching profession, it's a heck of a profession now. It didn't used to be this way. I remember when coaches, honest to goodness, college coaches were taking side jobs, man. And, you know, it was, you know, coaches making – I remember when I was working in Mississippi, a wide receivers coach under Billy Brewer, a friend of mine, Jody Allen, his contract was for $38,000, and that was back in the 80s. So the whole system to me is just out of whack. Just my opinion. Nobody cares what I think. I get it. But between NIL, portal, these coaches' contracts, the support personnel, I mean, it's just a money sieve. I mean, it's just give me more, more, more. And you look at North Carolina last night with the investment that they've made in that staff with Bill Belichick. Like I said, Michael Lombardi making $1.5 million to be the personnel guy for a college football team, a general manager. Well, if 48-14 is an indication that personnel needs some work in a hurry. But it's where we're at. It is the system that we have. People still want to win. And as long as it doesn't just get to a point where there's a school that just says we can't do it anymore, we can't afford to compete at this level, then I assume everybody will just keep trying to raise more money. And I'm talking about all of these Power Four schools. They're just going to keep going back to the well, you know, as long as the money is there to be given, as long as the well is not dry. You know, it doesn't matter if you go 10-2 or 2-10. When the season's over, they're going back to the well and asking for more money, whether it's for NIL or coaches' salaries or buyouts or whatever. But again, in the real world, this business model would probably be laughed at and just said, man, this is not a sustainable model. But anyway, we do love college football. But it's all this stuff now that goes with it that kind of wears you out a little bit. All right, 10:16 here on the Gary Harris Show. We had Cliff Clark on from Decades Pub and Grub yesterday. New sponsor that I'm certainly excited about having on the program, and I want you to check them out. I mean, this is really, really cool place and great food. Great atmosphere. It's almost like two bars in one, with music on one side and sports bar on the other side. And I'm going to tell you more about it a little bit later on. But let's get to the break and we'll come back. Hopefully take some phone calls, 205-342-9904. We'll be back after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Alabamians are flocking across the state line to Mississippi to buy Powerball lottery tickets. With no winner last night, Wednesday night's jackpot will be $1.3 billion. Dick's Sporting Goods and Foot Locker, which have stores in Tuscaloosa, are apparently merging after approval of stockholders. The two stores will remain separate. And during yesterday's weekly media briefing, Alabama head football coach Kalen DeBoer was asked about his team's lack of effort in Saturday night's embarrassing loss to Florida State.
We were certainly disappointed in some effort situations that happened.
The Tide hosts Louisiana Monroe Saturday night. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than the Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five-star service. Shop local, MercedesOfTuscaloosa.com, or come see us at 3200 Skyland Boulevard East, Tuscaloosa. I'm Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure a tee time.
Exciting. Visit us online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Tuscaloosa Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise, your car, your way today.
The
best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Show. We have a lot of sound from yesterday, obviously, with the coaches at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, Kane Womack, and Ryan Grubb. And the reason I haven't played it is it got played a lot yesterday. It's gotten played this morning. People have heard the press conferences. And Kalen DeBoer, honestly, I've had some people tell me that he seemed a little shook. I mean, he didn't seem sure of himself, and it was not the greatest press conference. But I think most of you heard it. What you probably have not heard or may not heard is Bill Belichick after that brutal 48-14 loss to TCU. You know how short and snippy he was when he was in New England? I mean, he would just intimidate reporters and you know, give five-word answers. He was actually pretty patient last night, and I think he's smart. I think he knew he had to be patient with the media, because after that performance, with that kind of crowd, the kind of money they're spending on that program for him and his staff, and you deliver like that, you better be a little bit nice. And he was. Here's Bill Belichick post-game last night talking to reporters following that 48-14 loss to the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs.
We played competitively, but then just couldn't sustain it, so obviously, we have a lot of work to do. You know, we need to do a better job all the way around, coaching, playing, all three phases of the game. Just wasn't up to what it needs to be, and I know we're a lot better than that. So we'll need to work on those things and show it on Saturday and quick turnaround. But, you know, give TCU credit. They came in and did a good job, and they were clearly a better team tonight. You know, they deserved to win, and they did it decisively.
Right here. Coach Andrew Jones, 24/7. When things started to go bad quickly after you had 7-0, what was the sense of, was there a sense of helplessness that you couldn't stop it? And what was maybe the key sequence that you thought got your team sort of off
rail? Yeah, multiple things. You know, anytime you give up two turnovers or touchdowns offensively, that's not good. We gave up several long plays on defense, you know, where they gained a lot of yards on one play. So just too many of those. There wasn't any one thing. It was a combination of multiple things. Too many three and outs, too many long plays on defense, and then two turnovers. Well, we had three turnovers, but two turnovers, touchdowns. You can't overcome that.
Josh Grant with USPS. Given the short week now, how much teaching can you do for this video ahead of Saturday?
Yeah, well, we'll, you know, use the time best we can to, like I said, correct the mistakes from last tonight and move on, and then, you know, get ready for Charlotte. So, you know, they've got a couple extra days here, and you know, they came off a disappointing game themselves, so, you know, we're both a little bit in the same boat here. But yeah, we got a lot of work to do, and, you know, we'll get at it.
Back to Mill.
Hey, Chris Asher, Torrey was on that side. You guys had a lot of missed tackles tonight. How much of that has to do with the limited amount of time you had to prepare for this game is when it comes to tackle?
You said it. We got to do a better job of tackling. There's no doubt about that. And so we're just going to have to work harder on it, tackle better. I mean, there's no secret to it. There's no pill you can take. I mean, you just got to, you know, have to tackle better fundamentally and get more guys around the ball so we're not, you know, so many tackles in space.
All right, it didn't get a lot more exciting than that. But he was patient with the media, and he did actually answer the questions, unlike his time in New England, when he often would just say, we're on to next week. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, giving credit for reading the room, the way that program invested in you, much money as they're spending on you and your staff, you know, you deserve to stand in front of the media and answer questions. And he did that. So I'll give him credit for that. We're going to answer some questions, or maybe at least listen to some comments from Robbie here on the Storage Center Hotline. Hey, Robbie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Yeah, I mean, that game last night just got out of hand. But they have 70 new players or something like that. So, I don't know who was at fault. But the one good thing they had was Max Johnson coming back from that leg injury from last year to play and take over at quarterback. That was a pretty good story right there. So,
it was.
I don't know if Carolina got killed, but that was good to see him out there after that horrific leg break. He almost lost his leg last year, and here he is playing football again. But as far as Bama, you know, Drew said it right. He got fired up there, got me fired up. You can fix all the X's and O's, and I'm sure they will, but you ain't going to be able to fix that intensity and the dog in you. And I didn't see anyone out there that wanted it, that had it in them. You know, so anytime you match up with Georgia, Auburn, LSU, and they're going to have those dogs, they're going to get beat. I don't care what scheme you run. If you ain't got some guys that want to come up and hit, you're going to get beat. Now, they'll probably do okay against Louisiana Monroe, but I'm telling you right, Louisiana Monroe is going to set up, and their running back's going to run over our linebackers, and they're going to be like, wow, they're not that tough. But yeah, they're fast, and they'll probably still beat Louisiana Monroe, but they're not going to be intimidated from. They got to come up with something, man. I just didn't see any fight in them at all, and that was sad.
Yeah, very disappointing. And, you know, we've broken it down for the last 2 days. I mean, I haven't heard a lot of positivity. At the same time, I mean, you played college ball. I mean, all you can do is try to learn from it. And we'll see Saturday night. Robbie, I have a suspicion, and, if I'm wrong, it certainly won't be the first time. We know that. I have a suspicion that Alabama will look really good Saturday night. I do respect Monroe. I respect all opponents, and very rarely do I pick just blowouts. But I think they're going to take out some frustration. I think they're going to want to, at least in that particular game, leave no doubt. I expect them to hang 50-plus on Monroe. And I'll say this, if you look up in the third quarter and it's 17-7 or 20-6 or something like that, then I'll be concerned because I expect this one to be over by halftime. I think it should be over by halftime. The disparity in talent between these two programs should dictate that this game is over at half. And if it isn't, after what happened down in Tallahassee, I'm going to take that as a really bad sign, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm curious, but Monroe's not going to be intimidated. I mean, they don't have the athletes that Bama does, so, Bama will pull away, but still, I just know. They better figure out something. And when you hear your defensive coordinator say, first thing, I'm tired of hearing that, we just didn't have the intensity. How?
I agree. How do you work nine months? Here's the thing I keep going back to. I've been told how hard they practice, how hard they work in the weight room. They pay the price, guys up early. So you'll do all that in practice in the weight room when nobody's watching you, but you give maximum effort then. But then when you're on the football field in front of this huge crowd in a hostile environment on national TV, getting to play in a game, you don't give maximum effort. Isn't it supposed to be the other way? You struggle to get guys to give maximum effort in practice in the weight room, but everybody wants to usually play hard in a game. I guess this team does it the opposite. I guess they pay the price in practice and the weight room, and then they get in the games, and they're like, oh, well, we can coast now. We paid the price. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm with you. That's a head-scratcher to me. I've never understood not playing hard in the game. That should be the minimum expectation. All the work that you do to get ready, the game should be fun. That should be when you go out and let it hang out. Hey, great call, Robbie. Got to run, man. Thanks.
All right, Gary.
All right, my friend. Good to hear from you. All right, I mentioned Decades Pub just a little bit earlier. Step back in time and taste the flavor of every decade at Decades Pub and Grub. Whether you're craving a classic burger or a stack sandwich or one of our signature cocktails, and we've got the vibe and the flavor to match. Catch the game on the big screens, sing along to throwback hits, and make every night one to remember. At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown Timberson Square. We'll be back with a special guest, a new guest of the program, talking about this upcoming game against Monroe, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Harris Show. The ULM Warhawks will be the opponent for the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday night in the home opener at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And joining me to talk more about ULM is Zach Richardson. He is the sports director at KTVE, KARD, My Arc, Louisiana, Mississippi. An interesting note on Zach, and I've not talked to him before. We texted a little bit, but it's rare to have a television market that serves three states. He's worked at two of them. I actually, back in 1995, interviewed at KHQA in Quincy, Illinois, was offered a job, did not take it, but they serve Quincy, Illinois, Hannibal, Missouri, and Keokuk, Iowa. And now he's sports director at a station that serves three states in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi. Good morning, Zach. That's quite a resume right there. You there aren't many markets in the country that have three states that they serve. You worked at two of them.
There's not. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on. It's a very unique deal, but you got to love it. Got to love it.
Yeah, you do. It keeps you running, yeah, when you're serving three states. But being there in Monroe as your hub, obviously ULM is where you kind of, you know, center most of your coverage on. And, of course, I know high school sports is big there. Jeremy Bryant, who worked with me up here in Tuscaloosa, works for you. But let's talk about the Warhawks. They got it off to the right start with a win in their opening game. Getting ready to come to Tuscaloosa. I like Coach Brian Vincent a lot. I think he's a good football coach. I think he's a guy that I thought should have gotten that UAB job on a permanent basis, but has a solid staff there. And what did you see from them in their season opener?
Well, you know, season opener, obviously, you know, any in college football, wins are hard to come by. So any chance you have to start the season off 1-0 is obviously a positive note. But what I will say, Saturday against the St. Francis team, who, in my opinion, wasn't equally talented as ULM, you know, the Warhawks didn't perform their best, just didn't take advantage of opportunities when they had the chance to. You know, it was a sloppy win. Defensively, played phenomenal. I think the Red Flash maybe passed the 50-yard line in the first half. Didn't pass the 50-yard line. Didn't make it past the 50 at all. And you know, it had some big plays. Got some turnovers. But again, offensively, you know, it was a team that just failed to execute. Not the same team we saw Week One last year against Jackson State. But again, a win's a win. 1-0 to start the season off. So, you know, now it's up from here.
The shoe's on the other foot now. They played a team that was inferior to them in the talent department. Now they come to Tuscaloosa and play a team where they're the inferior team in terms of talent. Alabama's result against Florida State, disappointing, but obviously ULM is a huge underdog in this game. I think it's, you know, 36, 37 points. But they have won here before, and I was there for it back in 2007 when ULM came in here and beat Nick Saban in Alabama in Saban's first year. So there is precedent. What do the Warhawks need to do to be competitive in this game, maybe to get it into the second half within, you know, shooting distance? In your mind, is there something that they could do to keep this game from getting away from them?
Well, really, I think for in a game like this, you know, obviously we know Alabama's a top five program in the country, and they're ranked that way for a reason. For the Warhawks to keep this game, you know, respectable and give themselves a shot, they have to take advantage of every opportunity. You know, Alabama's not going to make many mistakes in this game. But when they do, you have to take advantage of it. You have to force turnovers on offense. You have to execute. You have to put points on the board. You can't come away empty-handed. Like we saw that last year when ULM made the trip to Texas and took on the number one ranked Longhorns, just not putting points on the board, and it got away from them pretty quickly. So, you know, I know, as you mentioned, you know, and I've heard the story since I moved down to Louisiana, just the Warhawks win in 07, Alabama. Not saying there's not a chance, but, you know, things have to fall into place the right way in order for that to happen.
Let me ask you about where this program's at right now, because I know John Hartwell. I think he's an outstanding athletics director. He hired Brian Vinson. Hartwell stepped down in early August because he just decided that he didn't want to be there anymore. Is Brian Vincent serving as the interim AD, and what does, you know, his resignation, Hartwell's resignation, mean for that athletic department? Was it a shock to the system? What happened?
Well, yeah, and Coach Benson is serving as interim AD at the moment, which when news broke on that, it was, you know, this is a football team coming off a year where they started the season 5-1, fell off at the end of it, but you start talking about that phase two, that year two under Vincent, and as you mentioned, just the coach that he is, you know, I listen to him talk, and he makes you want to run through a brick wall. So you have this hope that year two is going to go in a different direction. Year two is going to be the year they get over the hump, and then this gets thrown at him. He's serving, you know, another role that's not just the football program now, but every athletic program at the university. There's a lot on his plate right now. But it was a shock to see John Hartwell, and got to know John pretty well. And, you know, he was all about the Warhawks. So when that came out, it was, you know, a lot of questions of why. You know, he was huge in bringing the student athletic feed to the university, which I think is huge for a program like ULM. When you talk about being competitive in today's age with NIL and just, you know, being able to bring in players, you know, find something enticing for players to get here and being able to offer them a little incentive to come to this school, because this is a hard market to recruit at. You know, we're in Monroe, Louisiana, where there's, you know, you have big cities around you, but not a ton. And when you talk about a football program, it's a program that in the past has struggled. So you have to find ways to entice kids to you know, want to be a part of a program or want to help build something here. But yeah, definitely, you know, as far as the football program, where they're going, I still think, you know, their goal is to win a Sun Belt Conference championship. And they know the work it's going to take to get there. Last year, obviously, like I said, a great start for them, starting off 5-1, and really got the community back involved. And I think, you know, sometimes we miss out on it, but, you know, watching Alabama games in Tuscaloosa, you see how much pride there is, how much the community is involved in Alabama football. And for ULM, that's what they're trying to build up to. You know, obviously not as large as it is in Tuscaloosa, but get the community involved and get behind their team, pack Malone Stadium to show that support. And in the end, I really think that does play a factor in success. So, you know, year two, obviously 1-0 start, but it'll be very interesting, you know, here in the coming weeks to see what this team does, how they build off of last year. Are they making those same mistakes, those you know, those same fall-offs, drop-offs late in games that we saw last season? How they build off of that? But I do think with Brian Vince as a head coach, and I don't care what program he's with, they can build themselves up to a championship team.
Yeah, I like that analysis. And like I said, I think there's a lot of people at UAB wishing that he had you know, gotten that job. Having said that, too, part of the reality of where we're at with college athletics is financial. And regardless of the outcome on Saturday night, this is a nice payday for ULM. This money that they're going to get for coming up here to play is going to go a long way in sustaining their athletic budget, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, not only financially, you know, obviously the money that's going to be made for going to play in a game like this is awesome, but also the experience for the players. You know, a lot of players, you know, dream of playing at Bryant-Denny Stadium and playing in front of, you know, 100,000, 170,000, whatever it may be, you know, playing in front of a crowd like that. So these guys get an opportunity. And then also on a football standpoint, I think for a team like ULM, they're not going to play another environment this season that's comparable to Bryant-Denny Stadium. So this is going to prepare them for, you know, making it to that championship level they're looking to be at, playing those big games in those hostile environments in Sun Belt Conference play. There's going to be nothing like playing against Alabama at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So really awesome experience. And Coach Vincent talked about it yesterday at our weekly presser for him as a coach. You know, a guy who spent 20-plus years in the state of Alabama coaching football, knows all about it. For him to be able to coach in such a historic place, just how much that means to him and how special that's going to be. But again, you know, they're going down there on a business trip, but also going to be soaking in the experience in the process. So I think it's a, you know, regardless of the outcome of the game on Saturday, it's a win for the ULM Warhawks.
Zach Richardson, sports director at KTVE and KARD in Monroe, Louisiana, talking Alabama ULM. From a football roster standpoint, who are some of the guys that Alabama fans will need to know for ULM, some of their top players that you expect to play well on Saturday night?
Well, I think starting off, you have to start with the quarterback position. Aiden Armento, a redshirt sophomore, who stepped in last year, I believe, around the Troy University game, and really played and helped this Warhawk team show make those steps to make, you know, make it to the right direction. He's a guy who is smart. He can get it done with his arm. He can get it done with his legs. He's just he's a great leader out there for the offense. I think for ULM, and last year we saw it a lot with Ahmad Hardy, who's now a Missouri Tiger. But Ahmad Hardy, as a true freshman, came in, and that running back group was a huge focus. And once again, I think that was Brian Vincent's big focus in, when it came to recruiting and transfer portal, was to bring in more high-caliber running backs, and was able to do so by bringing in a couple three-star guys and bringing in some of the top-rated guys in the state of Louisiana who had offers from the LSUs and the Alabamas and chose to come to ULM because of what, you know, what the possibilities are in that running back group. But, you know, a guy in that backfield that will be, you know, hear his name a lot, Braylon McReynolds, last week, 11 carries, 113 yards. He's a kid who's got the speed. He's got the agility. He's he runs the ball hard. And what's special, what's, you know, unique with ULM, they're going to run, you know, they're going to run four running backs. They have another young gentleman, Dorian Lewis, who, you know, six carries, 43 yards. Deshaun Ford, who's a true freshman, also came in, and he's kind of finding his way. I think that this is going to be a week we're going to see more of the freshmen come in, see what he has, to see what he can bring. And Zach Palmer-Smith as well at that running back position, who, again, it's a full rotation. Each guy brings something a little bit different to the backfield, but they're all effective in what they do. On the outside, you got guys, you know, a guy like Tyler Griffin, who, you know, ULM is a team, they're going to establish the run. The Warhawks are going to establish the run, something that we you know, saw it last year. They're going to run the ball. But when they do throw it, they have playmakers. Tyler Griffin's a guy last week, 32 yards on three receptions, had a touchdown, would have had two touchdowns if one weren't called back for a hold, you know, 50 yards down the field. But he's going to be a guy that they're going to look to get the ball to and make some plays on the outside, as well as Jake Godfrey, who Jake kind of gives this Danny Amendola type of vibe, kind of feel as a slot guy, real speedy, quick. He's kind of like that irritating itch you have that you just can't seem to get him away. He's always on you and always putting you on your heels. So those are going to be some guys offensively. On the defensive side, Darko Perkins McAllister, he's a guy who just flies around to the football. You know, he had five solos last week, two sacks, you know, SBC Defensive Player of the Week. He's going to fly around to the ball, make some plays as a backer. You have guys on at the front line, I think, and that's been in years past for ULM, has been that front four, and a guy up front there this year that's really that guy, Carl Fontroy, 55 tackles just a season ago. He can cause some chaos up front, real physical guy, fast up the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I think, you know, those are the guys who stand out, who you know, week one and a little bit of last year stood out to me that are going to be game changers. You know, obviously we talked about it with, you know, with Coach Vincent yesterday, just the going to play an SEC opponent, and this is going to give you a chance to see that size, that speed, that physicality that you're seeing at the SEC level. And these are guys that I think, you know, they're going to handle that challenge well. They're gonna take that challenge on. Billy Thorne's another guy on that D line at the end position who just got has a high motor defensively. But these are the guys that this week you're gonna hear those guys' names a lot. You're gonna see them flying around a lot. So yeah, excited to see them play at this level, to see how they do against, you know, some of the best in college football.
I want to ask you about a local product. He's just a freshman, but Bryson Kimbrough that I covered here at Hillcrest High School in Tuscaloosa. What are the expectations the coaching staff have for him? Do you know, I mean, haven't been there very long, but do you know, what are they, how they feel about Bryson Kimbrough going forward for the future?
You know, they love him, and had a chance to watch him in spring ball, and you know, when he signed, I talked to Jeremy, and started watching tape on him and loved the way he plays football. He's a guy who, you know, really gives the feel of an Aiden Armento, like as a dual threat guy. I think there's somebody, you know, they've got three quarterbacks that played last week. I think Bryce is a guy they're looking at to be their future, you know, be their future at the quarterback position. Now, when you have a redshirt sophomore and Aiden Armento, you know, makes it tough.
Would love to see them, you know, sometime in the future incorporate him in. You know, I think this is a possibility to have a multi-quarterback system, which they kind of do already with the Monroe native and Hunter Herring. But I would love to see Bryson, you know, out in the fire, see what he's got. You know, I think he could be a huge benefit to this ball club.
Yeah, look forward to watching his career unfold there. All right, are you going to make the trip up to Tuscaloosa for Saturday night's game?
I'm actually not making the trip down. Our guy Jeremy Bryan and Shaw Pryor, you know, they came and talked to me, and knowing they're two Alabama alums, and Jeremy being from the state of Alabama, said, hey, I want to go down and watch it. And I said, hey, that's all you. So you guys go down, and I think I'm going to stick around, maybe check out more our LSU Tigers. They're taking on a local squad. But you know, I told him I'm going to have to get down to Bryant Dennis Davis. First time down south for me, to hear a lot of good things about football, obviously college football, Alabama. So I got to make a trip over. So hopefully down the road, next time they're matched up, I'll be down there checking them out.
Well, sounds good. I'll look forward to seeing Jeremy, that's for sure. Zach Richardson with us talking Alabama and ULM. Do you have a score prediction for Saturday night?
I'd love to see, you know, just with the way Alabama played last week. And again, I know it's the Florida State team that struggled last year, but I still see Bama winning by, you know, I'm going to say 42-6.
Gotcha, my friend. Thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show. And listen, I want to remind you that we're going to start back our Bama football trivia contest on Friday during Fridays at the Free. And we're going to be giving away that Greg Gamble signed and numbered print, The Standard, which has Nick Saban, all six of his national championship teams. It is beautiful. It has the medallion that goes with it. It's an absolutely gorgeous print. And you have an opportunity to win it on Fridays at the Free in Bama football trivia. All right, we're going to come back with our final segment. We'll have time to squeeze in a couple of phone calls. If you want to give us a ring, 205-342-9904 is the number. And go ahead and let us hear from you before we close it out. We'll be back on the Gary Harris Show.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll start turning our head toward ULM. We'll do a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build your own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
Thing on the line for us.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Give me the night.
10:55. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brunfeld for a couple more minutes, and then we're going to turn it over to the Miller's Edge at 11 a.m. for Kristen Miller and his continued take on the game. I know he had some video breakdown yesterday of some troubling aspects of Alabama's defense. So we'll look forward to that. A reminder tonight to catch me on TV with your local sports on WVUA 23 and at 6:30 with Rodney Orr for Tider Insider TV. That ought to be a lot of fun. And, of course, back here tomorrow morning, Wednesday at 9 a.m. for the Wednesday edition as we already start working toward the weekend. That's, you know, Chase, that's the interesting thing I always like to talk about here is the wait for football. And then when you get here, it really does. The weeks just rattle by, you know. They go fast. Yeah, you get through one game, you start turning your attention to the next game. You know, it's Tuesday. Before you know it, it's Friday, and then it's another weekend, the game, and then you're on to the next one. The games just, boy, they go by. But as I stated, I fully believe, and I'm going to stick by this tonight when I make my prediction, and no disrespect to ULM, as I said, I think Brian Vincent's a good football coach, and they'll come in here. I expect Alabama to be in a foul mood and to really perform well against what I believe is an inferior roster and have a big resounding win. Now, what is that going to mean going forward? I have no idea. That's my expectation on Saturday night is for the Tide to take care of business. Chase, we got Miller's Edge coming up, and Ryan, Wyatt has rebranded his show.
It is called the Deep South College Football Show.
The Deep South College Football Show now at 1 o'clock, from 1 o'clock until 2, with Wyatt, who talks football. And then, of course, Ryan Fowler with the game from 2 until 6. And from 6 until 7, it's the Stingray Show. And then we started back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with the Martin Houston Show. We've been very inside the locker room, 7 to 9. Of course, I'll be back with you 9 a.m. I've had several people ask me about our podcast last night with Wallace Gilbert and Andre Smith, Inside the Trenches. We did have some technical issues here on Tide 100.9 FM and the different outlets. Hopefully, we're working on that, but we're not able to do video last night. And we did, as I said, have some snafus, but I appreciate people tuning in to hear Wallace and Andre and their take on the game and the season. And I think by next Monday night, we're going to have everything, you know, straight ahead and ready to go and hopefully have that video up. So we're looking forward to that. All right, that is going to do it. This hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. A reminder, lunch is right around the corner. And why not check out Billy's in historic downtown Northport right there on Main Avenue. And it's cool out there. So that patio, I'm sure, is going to be wrapped up beginning here in just a couple of minutes. All right, have a great day, everyone, and stay tuned for the Miller's Edge.